Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Aer Lingus, the Irish flag carrier, renowned for its warm Irish hospitality and exceptional service. Aer Lingus flies to Ireland from 19 gateways across North America. For more information and to secure a great fare, visit AerLingus.com. Welcome to Golf Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Stephen Ames, who has been playing on the PGA Tour Champions for 12 years now. Accumulated 9 wins, had a top 10 recently. I guess life on the senior circuit is agreeing with you, Stephen.
If I was a senior, yes, it would be agreeable. Yes, I think overall it's been a great success. And, you know, it's a nice big family out here, and we're all having a lot of fun playing out here.
So you're, what, 62?
Coming up in April, yeah.
We can't say the word senior, right?
No, exactly, yeah. I think 65 is legit, right? So no, we'll call it Champions Tour.
Well, we are recording this interview at the Chubb Classic here at Tiburon in Naples, Florida. And I know you won the Chubb Classic back in 2024, beating Rocco Mediate by 3 strokes. Talk about your memories from that win.
Actually, that was a fond memory because that was my first win ever where I was actually laying in bed. And I got the news that the day was canceled that I ended up being the winner. So it was that year where the Sunday was literally rained out. We think we had 5 or 6 inches that day worth of rain. So it was a good call. It wouldn't have been pleasant playing in that kind of condition. But yeah, no, it was nice. A win is a win. You take them as it comes. I think everybody on the field knew that the Sunday was an iffy day. We weren't sure if we were actually going to be playing. So I took advantage of that, and I started going more at the flags. It was kind of a last-minute kind of birth. You know what? Let's go for it and see what happens. And I ended up shooting 9 under that day. So I kind of vaulted myself all the way up to the leaderboard, so which is perfect.
9 under. Yeah. Wow. When you shoot that low number, what is that a zone? Is that what's the difference when you go out there so low?
The putter usually is the putter. The putter gets hot, and the putter did get hot that day. And 23 and 24, the putter has been really good to me. And 25 was a bit iffy, but this year hopefully it will change and we'll go from there. But I think overall, usually that's what it is. These guys we all hit the ball pretty much the same. You're going to have maybe a handful of guys that are a little longer off the tee, but I think the majority of the game tends to be the guy with the hottest putter that wins the events.
It always comes down to putting. But isn't that also the case on the PGA Tour?
100%. Yeah, because those guys are all the same. I mean, you look at guys like, I like example Tiger as an example, not the straightest ball striker off the tee, but his iron play is unbelievable. He's always going to have an opportunity putting for birdies. And when he was winning in his prime, he was making a lot of putts. The same for Phil. All those guys are all the same thing.
Well, you have incredible wins over Bernard Langer, Mike Weir, Mark Hensby, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Steve Stricker, Steve Alker, Ernie Els, just to name a few. Very notable wins.
Yeah, they're nice wins, like you said. Those are weeks where the putter got hot and everything was working well, and somewhat of a zone more in the putter than anything else for me. So I was lucky.
What about the depth of this tour? In the 12 years that you've been on the PGA Tour Champions, do you see a huge difference, say, the last 2 years than when you first started playing?
I would think at my age now, you're going to see it, definitely. Being 61, going on 62, as the likes of Stuart Sink, like he said when he won Mitsubishi a couple of weeks ago in Hualai and in Hawaii, his biggest advantage was the fact that he had a bigger length off the tee. And he's obviously one of those handful of players that take advantage of that. Angel Cabrera, always been a long hitter of the golf ball, took advantage of that as well, winning 2 majors and Boca event, which is in 2 weeks as well, for 3 for the year. I think that's, at this stage of our careers, the guy who stays the healthiest, still has the length off the tee, is going to be a big advantage for those guys, yes.
Do you find your training off the course is more important now?
It shouldn't have been, but yes, it is, yes, for sure. It's more diligent, try not to skip too many days, all weeks, all days, period, working out. So I'm pretty much in that regimen right now, where I'm doing 4 to 5 days a week when I'm working out, so yeah.
So what does it consist of? Give us an idea of your off-course training.
During the off-season, which just finished, 3 months of it, it was heavy weights, trying to get the legs and glutes stronger. There are certain muscles that have been hindering me, which would be my shoulders. So we've done a lot of shoulder work in that respect. Those have gotten stronger. I think as the year goes on, it basically you're just trying to maintain, not build. And so that's basically where my program changes with my trainer. And he changes my programs basically to help me maintain what I have right now and to work from there so it doesn't break down throughout the year.
And stretching, very important.
Stretching is a big thing, yeah. I do yoga at home and Pilates as well. So I'm pretty much on top of everything in that respect.
I do not leave the house unless I stretch. And that wasn't the case 20 years ago. I just think, you know, as you get older, you need more work in the gym, you know, for flexibility, strength, all of that, right?
It's longevity, basically. You know, you see the bodies of everybody who plays an athletic sport. They're breaking down by their 50. You know, so continuing doing all this, and then for a lifestyle, you know, your average 75-year-old doesn't look the same today that they did 20 years ago. They're a lot heavier today. They're a lot slimmer, more athletic, and of course, they're living past the scheduled date of what you're supposed to be. And if you want to live that long life and that love for flourishing life, you definitely would be in the gym more often today.
What about you and some of your colleagues out here? Would you say they're in better shape almost now than they were when they played on the PGA Tour?
I would say some of the guys are and some of the guys aren't. Yes, there's a mix. There's definitely a mixed bag. There are certain guys I was a bit surprised how far they let themselves go. And then, of course, there's some guys that are like, wow, you're still in great shape. So that helps. But then you're hearing guys that are constantly under the knife. We're getting this fixed and that fixed, and it's like, well, how much longer do they have? And as you get older, it's going to get harder as if you've had that many surgeries, for sure.
Yeah, it just gets so much more important as you get older. All right, so you mentioned Tiger.
Yep.
Your thoughts about Tiger. Do you think he will eventually play the Champions Tour?
I think he would play a couple of the majors. I'm not sure about the regular events. Hard to say with his schedule, and even then now, he's another one. He's just gone under the knife again, had another surgery, so I think he's got to look at that and fulfill and sustain and see if his body's capable of playing that much golf now. I mean, his last event was 2024, I believe it was. I don't think he hasn't played. He's playing golf, but put 3 or 4 rounds together. Yeah, that'd be difficult right now for him, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, would you like to see him play? And if so, what do you think the impact would be for this tour if he did play, even in the majors?
I would say the PGA Tour will not like it because he definitely will move the needle out here. Depending on if he comes out and which event he's going to be, it's going to be a massive influence of people coming to watch and everything, for sure. He still moves the needle. He's still the man, for sure, today.
And he seems like he's calling a lot of shots with the changes going on the PGA Tour. So he's not sitting idle. I mean, he can't play much and practice much with all the surgeries, as you mentioned. But he certainly has a huge influence on the schedule and I think on the prize money and all the progress that we've seen on the PGA Tour in, say, the last 5 years.
I think it's a product of the fact that the tour went through so many years where they were kind of running the ship. Now we have, which is why the LIV started, we have more of an influence as a player who is actually on the tour. And I think having Tiger there in that position, or any other player, should I say, in that position there, understands the dynamics of how it should look, how it should look and how it shouldn't look. And there is a lot of hearsay now that they're even going to reduce it and make it less events and not compete with football, which is obviously a very big market in the States, and it's hard to compete with that market. So we have to kind of fit in somewhere where we're not competing with a competitor. So I think eventually it's going to come down to that. It's going to be a more congested tour, shorter season, less events, but it's going to have a bigger impact on the audience and everybody else that's playing in it and watching it.
Are you in favor of some of those changes?
100%, yes, without a doubt. I mean, you still get to pick and choose which events you want. You're still an individual, and you can pick and choose events that you want to play. And then, of course, the fact that you have better competition within. Everybody's there. The top players are always playing more, which is what we always wanted. And then it's just a better tour altogether for viewing and for the sponsors and everybody.
The money in the game for the PGA Tour guys, I mean, just in the last, 2 years with the signature event prize money and now the equity program, I mean, it's insane, I think.
It is insane, but at the same time, we're still underpaid compared to everybody else. You look at basketball, you look at football. Tennis has gone up also in that run. I think overall, I think the product that we have to offer as golfers to what the viewership and how many people we view and how many people see us on television, I still think we're underpaid. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Will that, those improvements with the PGA Tour, has that trickled down to the Champions Tour?
Hard say. I'm not going to get into the political aspect of that one there. That one, I'm not sure what will happen there. But yes, hopefully we all think that, yeah.
Well, obviously, if Tiger makes that move, that could also benefit.
That's the part where I said, yeah, if he does come, because he will move the needle, definitely. And the tour would not like the fact that he's out here playing on this event and not playing on a PGA Tour event, which he's exempt for life for. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, yeah.
So talk about life here on the Champions Tour. More relaxed, very competitive, though. I mean, the depth of play is intense. How would you describe it?
It's more relaxed, for sure. In the past, it was very much you come out Tuesdays, everybody be out here practicing and going. Now that we have pro-ams 2-3 days of the week, guys are using those as practice rounds, rather than, like, I'm playing 2 this week, so I'm just playing. I'm not doing anything today. I'm just doing everything on the next 2 days. But I think that's where it comes. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we'll sit down, we'll chit-chat. You know, some of us are renting. I'm renting a house this week, and I've got a couple of the guys staying with me. So that works out more fun. The evenings are better with barbecuing and everything. So it's a little bit more relaxed in that respect.
And you love it. The camaraderie, yeah. And...
I think it's a little bit easier than it was in the PGA Tour, because it was pretty much your family and yourself, and then you just stayed in the hotel room and you did dinner by yourself. Now today, I think with all these guys, there's a little bit more camaraderie going on. We go out as a group a little bit more, or with friends, and have a nice dinner and enjoy your evening.
That's nice. Is it because you guys have known each other for so long and it's not quite perhaps as cutthroat as competition was on the PGA Tour, or why the camaraderie?
You said it all right there, yeah. It's the fact that we've known these guys, each other, for 20, 25 years plus. And the fact is, it's not as cutthroat, yes, for sure. There's no cut. We're out here to make us do as well as we can. You're going to have one bad day if you don't, you know, watch it. But I think at the same time, the competition's fierce. You have to be consistent and on the ball for 54 holes, yes.
All right. So what was it like growing up in Trinidad and Tobago?
It was, let's put it this way. When I look outside here and look at Tiburon, it's a beautiful, well-manicured golf course. It's always in great shape. The weather's beautiful, which is the same we have at home in Trinidad. But the conditions of the golf courses, nothing close compared, nothing. Not very good, hard. The facilities on the whole were below average, should we say. And that was difficult for me when growing up. So I had to basically accept what I had, or the fact that I was so naive that I didn't know that there was something better than this until I came to the States. And then I realized, I went, oh my God, the golf courses are so much better here than they are at home. And then I realized, wow, okay, this is a little bit easier in some respect to be able to go out and practice and play, because you're going to enjoy it more because the conditions are so much favorable in everybody's favor. So it's that's the difficult aspect of that part of it overall.
So how did you get into golf there?
My father played the game, and my grandmother on his side played the game as well. So I had a couple people helping me going on.
I understand your grandmother actually was a champion.
She was a 2-time Trinidad Tobago Open, yes. So, and she played golf till she was 94 years old. Yeah, amazing. Good genes, as they would say, right?
God bless her. So did she teach you, your dad teach you initially?
Initially, it was my father who introduced me to the game. He asked me to come and caddy for him at a golf event. At the time, he was about a 7 handicap. Nice, good ball striker of the ball, chip and putt very nicely, just got it around nicely. And when I saw the aspect of seeing the ball flying through the air was very intriguing. I was like, wow, I would like to try this. And then I started off with one of the local pros at home, gave me a couple lessons, and off I went. Started playing it basically because I love the fact of watching the golf ball fly through the air and being able to control the golf ball, which I'm still trying to do that today.
All these years later, you still have the same challenges, right? Exactly. So now, how did you end up in Canada?
That was my first wife. Oh. Yeah. So I married a girl from Canada, Calgary, Canada, Alberta, which is on the West Coast, for those who don't know. It's actually one of the prairie provinces. And that's where the oil and gas is, to be honest. And we lived there for 22 years. We had two boys. They're 28 and 26 now. Divorced, and then I married another Canadian girl who I call my mulligan in my life. So we've been married 8 years, 10 years together, and we left Canada as soon as my youngest turned 18, which was 10 years ago.
And now where are you?
Now we live in Turks and Caicos. Love you, Turks and Caicos. Back to, let's say, kind of homeland, yeah. Caribbean lifestyle. The sun's always out, very laid back, relaxed. Definitely don't get things done in a very hot and a quick beat. So you have to be a little bit, bite your tongue and realize that this is going to happen, not today, but it's going to get done tomorrow. So, but the aspect of living on the ocean, seeing the ocean every day, opportunity to jump on a boat, go fishing, go and have a nice little picnic somewhere on another beach, all those things that we do. And it's very relaxing. Every time I go home, it's like the 1 week actually feels like you're there for three. So it's very calming and relaxing for me, especially if I'm playing golf day, week in, week out. It's kind of soothing and relaxing. It helps me come back out very fresh.
And how's the golf there?
There's one golf course there. It's a lot better the shape than one that I grew up on. So it's a work in progress because they're always trying to refine it and get it better. And we have a lot of help from the local businesses that owns it. So I think overall it's a fun place to play. You know, like I said, the sun's always out there. A lot of people have been more and more people have been introduced to the game, the locals wise. And so it's been nice there to play.
I can't think of any other golfer who's had quite the journey, literally, that you have had, you know, born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, goes to Canada.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about extreme opposite.
That was extreme, yes. My earlier days playing 18 years on the PGA Tour, there was 2.5 months where I didn't touch a club. And then when I started the tour off in Hawaii, it was, I think I bought maybe a box of Band-Aids every week, just to tape my fingers up because they're all bloody and cut because they got so soft over the winter from not hitting golf balls. And then when I started back in the sun, they blistered my hands pretty bad, even though I wore a glove. So I think that was the harsh part of that relationship. And that was something that I wanted to change, knowing that I was going to play the Champions Tour, where I felt like I needed to continue playing a little bit more. And of course, back to that longevity, you know, you got to keep your body in shape. Golfing muscles and working out muscles and playing tennis muscles are all different muscles that you're using. So if I stop using those muscles, it's going to hurt when I come back out. So in that respect, that helped me, and it's kept my longevity in the game and my swing too.
And your mulligan's happy down in the Caribbean?
Oh, yeah, she's very happy, yeah. It was a hard twist in the arm to get her to go down there. But, you know, we move back and forth. She still goes home to Vancouver, where she's from. She sees her parents and all her friends, so we give a little breath of fresh air, shall we say, back to reality. And then she comes on, she goes, wow, why did I leave? Every time she says it too, which is kind of funny. She's like, yeah, this is a little bit more relaxing than going to Vancouver where it's really busy. And but she enjoys it.
Tell me about your foundation.
The foundation, yeah. So the foundation was designed to help the unfortunate living in Trinidad. And that way what I did was I put some money there in an account, accumulated with the interest, and as the interest blossom about what I do every year now is that I send clubs, balls, help some of the kids out. I think I've got, if I'm not mistaken, my mom helps me with that, almost a dozen kids that we have memberships with, that we give memberships to at the golf club in Trinidad. So they're learning the game. We give them the opportunity. As it is, I'm actually going home in March to do a couple of clinics for the kids down there. So I'll work with the complete beginners. And then I'll take the elite players, and then I'll play 18 holes with about 18 of them, three holes each, work on their games and their mental aspect of their game, helping them out just to get to another level. And we've got, I think we've sent almost 10 kids now to university in the States here playing golf. And now we started another program where we're now doing agronomics for the golf course. So the kids are now learning how to grow grass because we need superintendents down there to help them in getting the golf courses in better shape and all that. So little things that are making a difference and a big difference, which is nice.
It's good to give back like that.
Always, always good to give back. I was fortunate. I had parents that were wealthy enough to send me to school and to give me an opportunity playing golf. And I looked at it and I went, wow, this is the only way I can give back. So that was my way of giving back. So it's been good. It's been fortunate and heartwarming at the same time.
Last question, Stephen. 62 years young, what do you yet have to do out there? What's on that list?
That's an easy one. Win a major. Yeah. That's always in my foresight. It's always there in the back of my head thinking about it. And that's my goals right now, is to actually get Miro major before I close off my chapter of playing golf. Yes.
That can happen.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, working towards that.
Thanks so much. What a pleasure. Thanks for being on Golf Interview. Really appreciate it. Nice to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And by Aer Lingus, the Irish flag carrier. Renowned for its warm Irish hospitality and exceptional service, Aer Lingus flies to Ireland from 19 gateways across North America. For more information and to secure a great fare, visit aerlingus.com.